pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these words be yours and blessed. Amen. Before I start preaching, I want to say something.
I still want to do it, yeah.
But I want to say something very serious, very important. You are forgiven. God has forgiven you all your sins. Not just the ones that you were caught doing, but the ones no one else knows. The white lies, the nasty thoughts, the silence when you should have spoken out. Those times that you could have and maybe should have helped somebody but didn't. Pretended you didn't even know. All those minutes or hours or days or weeks that you have lived your life having nothing whatsoever to do with God, acting like He doesn't even exist. And each time, of course, you morph into some lesser life form when you get behind the wheel of your car. All those sins in thought, word, and deed, what you've done, what you've left undone, it is a pretty exhaustive list. But it doesn't matter. It's gone. Grace. Wiped out. Our debt of sin has been paid by Christ on the cross. We sin daily. He died once, and it keeps working. He died so that we might live. We call it grace. And it is grace. It's undeserved, surprising, absolute, total. Don't let anyone tell you you have to do something to get it. That being said, pleading for mercy is always a good idea. But I'm sure that grace being grace, God even forgives those who don't get around to asking. You have already been forgiven. I want you to think about that. I want you to let that just sink right in. And so to let that happen, I am going to give you 30 seconds of precious sermon time to do that right now. You are forgiven. That might just be dead air on our podcast. I still think it's time well spent. Because I don't think that most of us, most of the time, really grasp how great grace is. Because we don't really grasp how much we have fallen short of the glory of God. And maybe after a whole half minute, maybe we still have it. I mean, we tell ourselves, we're not that bad. At least we're better than most. Chief of sinners I may be, I can name five worse than thee. Quite frankly, those of us who show up in church on Sunday morning probably don't think we need a whole lot of forgiveness. Maybe just a little every now and then, but we don't need that much. But that's a sin in itself, for two ways, at least. One, because we don't really appreciate how much we sin and how much God forgives. But perhaps even worse, it makes us pretty selective and pretty restrictive on who we forgive in turn. In this morning's gospel, Peter poses to Jesus a rather interesting question. Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? Now, it's kind of a neat suggestion because actually Scripture, Leviticus, says up to four. So Peter's almost going twice as much. Seven times? Still wonder what it is that Andrew keeps doing to him. But Jesus' answer had to blow him away. No, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And then he tells a story. Now, when Jesus tells a story, the key to understanding his parables is always to focus on that part of his story that doesn't make sense. Because that's where his point is trying to make. That it's the shepherd that leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness to go after one. Or the fact that a guy mugged by the side of the road is assisted and cared for by a Samaritan, not a religious person. Or about a laborer, a vineyard owner, who pays the same wage for someone, whether they work 1 hour or 12. The rule of thumb is to find that weird part in any parable and know that that's what Jesus is getting at. But in this parable, there's a lot of weird parts. I mean, first of all, it's the size of the debt. This slave owed 10,000 talents. Now, one talent was the equivalent of 15 years of labor for 15 years of work of a laborer. So if you do the math, 15 times 5 days a week times 50 days a week, kind of leg off holidays and stuff, it winds up being equivalent today of $2.4 billion. Massive. And the master just discovers that. And so weird point number one, wow, you owe me that much? Ah, forget about it, you big log. It leads a lot of this way. That doesn't make sense either. But you know the biggest part, the hardest for me to understand, is why that guy who was forgiven such a massive debt doesn't forgive the other one, his minuscule 100 denarii. And there's only one answer in my mind that makes sense. That despite what the master told him, despite the feeling that debt came out and had to be taken care of, and the master just forgives it just like that, that guy didn't feel forgiven. It hadn't sunk in. He still felt that he had to repay, that he owed something back, that he had to do something. So he shakes down his friend, grabs that pity amount, runs back to the master and says, here, take this for forgiving me. I mean, not only is that cruel and unjust to his friend, it's downright stupid to do that and offensive to say, you canceled $2.4 billion? Here, have a Franklin. It doesn't make any sense. Like I said, you hear this story, and the sums are mind-boggling. 10,000 talents. How could one actually get that much in debt? Have to be some criminal activity. It's an amount that's five times more than what sent Bernie Madoff to prison. But it's discovered out of the blue. And then just as quickly as it's discovered, it is canceled. Why? Just because the servant begs him. How could that guy not have the same compassion on his colleague, especially when his colleague uses the exact same words to him as he used to the master? We're supposed to hear this story and be incredulous. How can someone be so callous, so blind? There's no way. We're supposed to respond that way. Because according to Jesus, that's pretty much how God sees us when we, whom he has forgiven so much, fail to forgive one another petty things. And that's why this parable does not end in the usual warm fuzzy, but in a chilling warning. Jesus saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart. That really scares me. And I think it should scare you. I mean, I'm pretty well a nice guy. I smile a lot. I try to make friends. I don't have many enemies. But if someone's threatening my wife and children, when I see in the news some people distorting scripture, whether mine or their own, to hurt and persecute and kill, if I'm slighted or repeatedly taken advantage of or hard done by, I find that forgiveness can really be difficult to muster. I figure there should be limits. I should have license not to forgive certain people. And I want God's grace to have teeth to work. And I'm more than willing to be its chompers. The thing is, that would be a lot easier to live with if I didn't really come to grips with my debt before God myself. That's why forgiveness, it isn't a matter of letting something go. It's a matter of letting God's forgiveness of us sink in. Get under our skin. Penetrate our heart. It's still a good question. How often and how much are we supposed to forgive? And Jesus says, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. But there's part of us that live that say, this is never going to really work. I mean, groups like ISIL continue their deadly rampage and slaughter and decapitation of innocent people. Locally, we have politics at home where there's nothing but negative ads and an ungodly amount of money changing hands just to spread lies. Even our own families sometimes ends up being bitter disputes, divorce, custody issues, inheritance problems, domestic violence, all part of what we know. And if we have to wait and wait until the 491st time something happened to us, we might not be around. Jesus' strategy sometimes seems to be out of touch with the real world. Or at least it might seem that. But then again, Jesus had that vexing problem where he always seemed to be more concerned with welcoming his followers into the kingdom of heaven than providing them with helpful hints to get by in today's earth. And sure, I'll grant it that probably your forgiving someone else who's hurting you, it isn't going to change him or her a bit. But it will change you. It will change how you feel about that person. Forgiveness is tough. Some out there might just mistake it for weakness. But it's really the exact opposite. It's strength. It's strength stemming from the relief, the confidence, the freedom, even the joy of having this giant burden removed from your shoulders. Yesterday, I bought a car. Now I'm signed up for 5 years of debt. I don't like it. It seems like an awful lot of money to be paid. But it's nothing compared to my debt before God. And I'll tell you, the one I usually can understand staying up all nights wondering how it's ever going to be happening, praying over it. But the other, because of Christ, I can wake up and give thanks for it being canceled every single day. We love because God first loved us. And that love, that forgiveness, that should change everything about us, even when we stay the same. When I was at high school, I had this friend named P.J. Longhans. And P.J. was head over heels in love with this girl named Nancy Keller. And one day, he summoned up the courage and went up to her right at the start of first class and said, Nancy, you go to the prom with me? And she said, yes, I'd love to. P.J. was euphoric. He had this goofy smile on his face. He got a 3 out of 10 on the pop quiz in history. And he said, that's okay. At lunch, all they were serving was tuna casserole. It was, that's probably not nutritional value. He said hello to Mr. Earhart, and he hated Mr. Earhart. I, being a friend and sensing a change in him, hit him up for a $10 loan. He said, sure, no problem. PJ felt loved. And even though he was the same guy he always was, everything had changed. That should be us. If we let our master's love and forgiveness sink in, how much more? That's the way Jesus usually ends his parables. How much more has God forgiven us? How much more is his grace abiding? How much more reason for us to love and forgive one another from the heart? How much more? It's not just a matter of letting things go. It's letting God's forgiveness of us sink in. May that sink in. God grant that. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.